So welcome to the Southwest Faculty for Advancing Practice podcast series. In this episode, we're going to be discussing the challenges and benefits of advanced practice in mental health. I'm Fiona Ramsey, and with me today are Jody Lay, Lucy Bentley, and William Lee, all from Cornwall Foundation Partnership Trust. So first, I'm just going to ask you to introduce yourselves. Jody.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jody Lay, and I'm an advanced clinical practitioner. And also, one day a week, I'm the advanced practice lead for mental health in our trust.
Hello, my name's William Lee. I'm one of the consultant liaison psychiatrists here at Royal Cornwall Hospital.
Hi, I'm Lucy Bentley. I am a first year trainee advanced clinical practitioner in mental health based within the psychiatric liaison team at the Royal Cornwall Hospital.
Thank you for joining me today. We know that in Cornwall, you have been doing great things with introducing advanced practice in mental health, and that's what we'd like to hear about today. So I'm asking Jody first, because of your lead role in this, can you tell us a bit about how that came to be and the process?
So last year, we were fortunate enough to be given some money from Health Education England after the readiness checklist from HEE for advanced practice was completed. At that point, I was the only advanced practitioner within Cornwall in mental health services. And we really wanted to embrace this. So one day a week, I was given the opportunity to start scoping what opportunities we might have within our county to develop advanced practice. We felt that the best fit for us initially was to start having trainee advanced practitioners within our crisis services, much like psych liaison, where Lucy works. And actually, that's where I work as well, but in the older adult mental health department. I networked nationally, extensively, really, to understand what had already gone before us developing this. And what I established was that actually the best way to start was to have trainee ACPs by employing those trainees into a training post where they were given the maximum opportunity to embrace that training opportunity. That would be in the clinical area that they would be working within. One of the challenges that that has brought for us within our CAMS area of practice, we thought it would be quite unique to give the CAMS trainees the opportunity to choose where they wanted to work. But actually, I would say that that's really given us quite a challenge, because for a trainee ACP, they really need to have a home. They need to feel embedded within that service and feel safe within their training opportunity. So we started off with 5 trainees, I think it was, within 2 within CAMS, psychiatric liaison, and also home treatment. I'm not saying it's been an easy journey for us, but certainly we've embraced it. There's been some challenges to developing advanced practice. I think the first one was understanding what advanced practice is, obviously describing that it's a level of practice, but we really needed to establish what it was going to bring to the teams. And certainly in a moment, Lucy and Will will be able to tell us how having a trainee within psychiatric liaison has hopefully benefited families and carers of the people that Lucy sees. The other challenge that we found was, and I think will be a challenge going forward, is that a lot of our nurses and occupational therapists and AHPs actually don't have degree qualifications. So going forward, we need to start thinking about career pathways within the clinical field of mental health, thinking about how we actually prepare people to step forward to becoming an advanced practice trainee. The number of our ACP trainees that we have in post are very senior qualified trainees who've actually been within band 8 posts, 7 and 8 posts previously. So we need to think about that. So we're starting to think about both managerial and clinical pathways so that we can prepare our staff from band 5 right up to becoming a trainee ACP and beyond to consultant practice as well. What we've started to do is implement other things to help our staff to develop. So we've started journal clubs, we've got a mental health community of practice. We also had a troubleshooting drop-in session when our trainees first started, so that we could bottom out any difficulties that they might have. And I've tried to make myself as accessible as possible to support our trainees. Going forward, we have also engaged in the mental health network nationally. So the majority of our trainees have showcased what we've been doing in Cornwall at that event. And I would definitely encourage anybody that's interested in becoming an advanced practitioner to engage in that national network. It certainly gives you a really good insight in where advanced practice fits within mental health and how unique it is and what a great space it is to work in. So in Cornwall, in September for our next intake, we've recruited another 5 or 6, I think, trainees. So and certainly working towards developing a 5-year plan of how we will have succession planning as well to ensure that that space is always filled. So I'm going to hand over now to Lucy and Will to talk about their experience of advanced practice and how it fits within psychiatric liaison here at the Royal Cornwall Hospital.
We talk about commonly a patient we've either seen together or Lucy's seen and I've not seen, and we structure it. Well, it depends. So we kind of structure that like a CBD. And then depending on which modules you're doing, we talk a bit about that. Do a little bit of how are you, very important. And yes, and it's interesting part of my week, really.
Just thinking about how that role came into being in psychiatric liaison, would you like to tell us a bit about that?
So I think as with any new role, that brings challenges and brings a need for understanding of why that role has been developed and how that role might be beneficial to the team and the patients that we look after. For myself, I'm very lucky that I've had the support of Jodie and the support of Will and also the support of the rest of the team in developing this role within psychiatric liaison. I think it's advanced practice within mental health is relatively new compared to advanced practice in general medical care, and therefore it's still developing and we're still learning, and I'm only in my first year. So I've still got another 2 years before I've qualified as an advanced practitioner. But I think how I started was to sort of have conversations with my line manager and Will around how best we could put this to the team and how best the team might be able to understand the role. So I have been quite open and approachable. I've been a member of the team for over 4 years, so people know me quite well. And people have been nothing but supportive in the team that I work in providing me with the space and the learning that I need to develop my advanced practice. I put together a small presentation for the team on what advanced practice is and what that role might look like in psychiatric liaison to help further understand, sort of people further understand what that role might look like. So essentially, at the moment, I work as part of a multidisciplinary team within psychiatric liaison. Like Will said, we often see patients together at times, and we have a number of complex patients that might have a number of physical comorbidities alongside mental health difficulties. And it's looking, you know, more at those cases and utilizing my non-medical prescribing qualification where appropriate and providing the clinical leadership incorporated within my clinical work. So perhaps when we have more complex patients, I might take more junior members of staff along to look at how we manage that, so that there's sort of continued learning there through from Will to younger members of the team.
Coming back to you then, Jodie, in terms of the largest organisational perspective, what are you seeing as the potential benefits to the people in Cornwall who use your service by having advanced practice?
I think that certainly in my role, it's the continuity of care. So certainly as an ACP myself, I follow people out from the hospital to their own homes, to care homes. It's the patients and the carers' feedback. It's nice to see a familiar face. I think also the ACP role obviously works right across the core pillars of practice. And we're not always thinking about the medical model. So I think the patients and the carers get more out of us than maybe they might do if they traditionally might have seen a medical colleague. Also, it means that our medical colleagues are freed up to really see those most complex patients that they really need to see. It also helps with training needs. So I think in Cornwall, we have developed our staff, but I think we can do better in the place of work, and actually having an advanced practitioner in post also enables that. We've also struggled to recruit consultant practitioners as well. And actually now having an advanced practice in place, I think will also enable us to recruit consultant practitioners and also gives a stepping stone to that career progression.
So looking at psychiatric liaison, the same kind of question, what do you see the benefits to the actual people using your service?
So I think as we've touched on already, looking at the current gaps that exist within the healthcare system and how upskilling nurses is found to be quite advantageous and meeting the needs of the patients perhaps sometimes in a more time efficient manner than we could if we might sometimes in psychiatric liaison, and we might be wanting to wait for a doctor to see a patient because it might be more of a complex presentation and the nurses that we have might not necessarily feel that comfortable or confident in handling that patient decision and that patient's care. And therefore by sort of having an advanced practitioner within that service, it looks at, like I think Jodie touched on earlier, looking at those patients and possibly seeing that care through. So as we might already have those sort of a more extensive working age community mental health service there. We might, as nurses in the hospital, predominantly in a psychiatric liaison service in Cornwall, we predominantly see a patient once, and then we predominantly look at risk assessments with people who self-harm, people that come in with suicidal thoughts, and then we make a decision at the end of that. Whereas I think as an advanced practitioner, we can tend to sort of look at more complex patients and see them through more than we would have done previously, where they might have been more doctor-led care pathways. And I think that is something that we are still developing. Like I said, I'm only in my first year of training. It's very hard when you've been a nurse for a long time doing a set course to sort of break away from that and do things differently. But I think definitely as time's progressed in my first year of training, I've seen more of the complex patients. I've tried to lead a bit more with those patients. And obviously I've had Will there for support and guidance, which has been immensely helpful.
Oh, I'm glad.
So we've talked a bit about nurses in this role, but I know in Cornwall, you're expanding that into multi-professional practice. Would you like to tell us a bit about that?
So this year in our recruitment phase, we're really, really excited that we've had occupational therapists, physios, speech and language therapists also apply for our posts. So we will be recruiting an occupational therapist to our older adult functional unit in September, which is fantastic. This is actually a new ward that's repurposed in Cornwall. So that's a really exciting opportunity for that person. We've also recruited a dietitian to our autism and learning disability service. We have recruited some nurses as well, but also a speech and language therapist to our mental health and learning disabilities team. So last year in our first phase of recruitment, it was with no purpose to only recruit nurses. We only had nurses apply. So, but as I'm getting out there and continuing to do roadshows all around Cornwall, advocating for advanced practice, we really, really hope that we'll have some more AHPs apply for those posts. We're really very excited about advanced practice in Cornwall, and we've had amazing support from all of our colleagues, both medical, nursing and our occupational therapy leads and such. So hopefully we'll be developing this further and we can maybe talk again in the future.
Thank you for talking to me. What I'd like to close with is just what would your key pieces of advice be to people in your corresponding positions? So for Jodie, leading in an organisation, for Will, to potential supervisors of advanced practice trainees, and Lucy, for people thinking about becoming a trainee.
For me, it would be research it thoroughly before you commit to it. Be mindful that it is an awful lot of work. That you are doing a trainee, you are in a trainee post and you're working clinically alongside completing a master's at the same time. And so therefore be mindful that you will need to set time aside to dedicate to that think about using your peers, so the your trainee peers that you study with that might work in different clinical areas to you, but essentially that you can lean on for support, because everybody has a role to play and everybody is fantastic at supporting each other. And I would say that my trainee peers have been brilliant from my experience. But I would definitely say research it before you do it, but also sometimes take the leap, because actually it is really exciting. And even, you know, it doesn't matter how long you've been a nurse for, you can always continue your development, you can always continue learning. And I think that's what this has definitely taught me.
Yes, I think that the same applies the other way. It's easy to get stuck in a rut. I mean, somebody who's, you know, her actual job is to think about things, ask about things, find things out, and it's basically every week it's like, oh, what's the, you know, ask a question, I don't know the answer, so we have to find out together. So it's great. And you know, there's the bit I know is research, but you know, the clinical units with clinical research going on are better in terms of your patient outcomes, various process things, but also recruitment, retention, and all of those things. Just because when a place is live to something, it makes the whole thing work better, and everyone's motivated. And I think the same is true for helping people develop. You know, it seems to me that somebody who's maybe just qualified, or somebody who's an HCA, you know, we have a sport worker in our team, could look at an advanced clinical practice trainee and think, well, wait a minute, I could qualify, you know, and just see the whole story. So like so many of these things, there's the bits you can actually capture, and then it's very easy to imagine highly plausible other benefits that occur. And it's, you guys will know more about it than me, but isn't it right that developing as a clinician has been a long-term perceived problem within career structures? And here it is, like, you know, and it's great to be part of it.
I think I would, somebody, if a trust was wanting to develop advanced practice, I guess the learning that's come for me has been to enable the student to have the most time and most use of the training opportunity as they can. So most definitely recruiting into a training opportunity, not actually just enrolling a candidate onto the advanced practice course alongside their current role, because I don't think that gets the best out of the training opportunity for the student and for the service they're going into. And I think the other part of the learning probably is when you're thinking about developing an advanced practice post, to involve the whole team that trainee is going to sit within, so that everyone understands what advanced practice is from day one, and also is able to explore, I guess, the benefits and the challenges of that, so that everyone is on board from day one. And that's something that we didn't do in the first phase. And then the second phase, we've been really fortunate enough to have assistance from Health Education England to facilitate some workshops for us to help explore what that advanced practice trainee role might look like. And I think that's been immensely beneficial for us. So certainly that's something that we will do again, so that everyone's on board and everyone signs up to support that trainee as well. And like Will says, so that people, the HCA who is in the team, does have some aspirations as well and opportunities to see how they might develop. I think the only other thing is that, I don't really think, Lucy, but I think it probably encourages the other staff within the team. I think the trouble is in site liaison, it's quite the people that work within it are always very motivated, yeah, and want to do research and quality improvement, yeah, and all those things. But I think it demonstrates it, the role advocates working across the four pillars for everyone else in the team as well. We've had, I think, 5 workshops for all of the new posts, which we've invited all of the members of the staff that will be working with that advanced clinical practitioner trainee within the team to be part of, and think about what that post might look like, what type of patients they might be seeing, and also to discuss what advanced practice is and what the four pillars are as well, so people understand.
What I looked at, or I remember from being interviewed by Jodie, was to establish my strongest and weakest areas in terms of the four pillars. And I very much kept that in mind throughout my training. For me, it's my weaker areas would be around research. And so that's one thing that I've definitely tried to work on quite a lot. So currently an associate PI with the research team on one of my other peer trainee ACPs. So that's only recently started in the last 6 months. So we've just started that project, which is interesting and sort of moving along at the moment. I think it's over 18 months. In terms of the other pillars, so obviously we've covered, like Fiona said, we've covered clinical quite well. In terms of the leadership pillar, the thing that I've always found that I've been quite good at is being quite organized from a clinical perspective and leading the team. And like I sort of spoke about earlier, with those more complex patients, taking along junior members of the team, providing support and supervision to sort of band six psychiatric liaison nurses and student nurses, working quite closely with our clinical associate psychologists around reflective practice within the team and where we could benefit from that, and developing that sort of area for members of the psychiatric liaison team. And then from an educational perspective, obviously currently I'm doing my master's in advanced practice, looking at how I can perhaps utilize some of my learning that I've achieved so far and bring that back to the team in some form of an educational role.
All right. Well, I really appreciate you being with me here today. It's been great to hear about what you're doing in Cornwall, and we wish you the best with your future developments. Thank you.